Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning. It is time for us again to be together. I am the voice of the coal mine at the Museum of Science and Industry, Bob Surratt. That is my greatest accomplishment. I like to point that out from time to time. Although I had an idea this morning, and I don't know if this is going to fly today. I don't know if I can do it, and I'm not sure station management will like this. But my idea for today, what is today? Thursday, January 9, is to not mention my name for the entire broadcast. And I'll tell you why I'm thinking about doing this. Who was the most successful radio personality ever on WGN, maybe in the history of Chicago, in the history of the country? Wally Phillips, right? Well, Wally, he never said his own name. He really didn't. I mean, people, callers would refer to Wally, but he never said, "Hey, I'm Wally Phillips. This is the Wally Phillips Show." I don't remember once hearing that ever. So I thought, let me try that and see if I can be successful doing that, at least for one day.
They didn't have texters back then, though. What, so you got to deal with all the texters saying, "Who are you?"
Oh, well, I can ignore that, Mary. Yeah, you know what I mean? Hey, it's Mark in for Dave today in the sports department. You know, I hear you on Sundays, or I did during the season after Bears games, trying to keep Obradovich and Hampton sane and prevent them from getting a heart attack. How's that going?
Well, good morning, Bob. Good to see you. And that is fun and challenging at the same time. And I still talk to OB in the off season daily. We, you know, got to have a little chit chat, a little midday OB check in.
Make sure everything's. I would worry about those guys. You know, maybe with their blood pressure.
Yeah, I think it's a real thing, Bob. When you know, maybe OB takes a little walk away from the microphone and starts heading around. This Mitchell Trubisky thing has not been good for Ed Obradovich.
No, it hasn't. It's 5:11, and we do this now every day, where we start things off with our first caller contest, and it's a pretty simple deal here. If you're the first caller deemed airworthy, we talk to you for a little bit and give you a prize at 312-981-7200. Do we have somebody ready? We do. Let's say hello to Don in Gardner, Illinois. Where's Gardner, Don?
It's about an hour south of Chicago on I-55, Bob.
It sounds like you're on the road already. What's going on? What do you do?
I'm on the road. I am the corporate safety director for NTN USA. We make bearings and drive shafts.
And the reason I can't complain about the hours, people like you up and at them early, working 8 hours, not like me, you know, 9 a.m., I'm done. So what exactly does that job entail for you there, Don?
I try and keep our people from getting hurt at work and also keep us in line with OSHA and the EPA.
All right. Well, we're glad you're out there doing that. And you're the first caller. You get a prize. How about a Lou Malnati's gift certificate?
Hey, that'd be fantastic. You know, you were one of my first two Bobs. I used to trade back and forth between listening to you in the afternoon and listening to Bob Collins in the afternoon.
Oh, well, appreciate that. You've been around the area for a while then, haven't you?
Yep, born and raised around Coal City, Gardner area, and actually got a chance to sit in the showcase studio with Bob Collins one time and with John Williams a couple times.
Fun! Okay. And you want to do the traffic report for your area there out in the sticks?
Well, let's see. I-55 coming up through Joliet's pretty clear, a little tight around 80, but north of 30 now, and running, as Mary Fender Bender would say, at the posted speed limit.
Well done.
Thanks,
Don.
Don calls me once in a while with some reports, too. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on being the first caller, and we'll get you that gift certificate from Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Hang on. The lovely Vivian will get all the information we need to get that out to you, Don. And if you'd like to try to get in tomorrow as the first caller, 312-981-7200. That is also the number to text. Time to check in with WGN-TV News and say good morning to Courtney Guzman. Hi, Courtney. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good, and you're on Coyote Watch again, aren't you?
Oh, my gosh. It's been an eventful morning. We've spotted one around 3 o'clock this morning right here on Northwestern's campus, Northwestern Hospital, that is. There is this fenced-in area right on Fairbanks near Erie, and we had learned about a 32-year-old man who got bit last night, like a few hours ago. He walked in around midnight to the ER here at Northwestern and said he got bitten in the rear. And so we came out to shoot the area where he said he got bitten, which was right on Fairbanks near Huron. And as our WGN photographer was out here, his name's Sean, he saw the coyote. He actually walked up to our cameras. He crossed the street, crossed Huron, and my photographer had to shoot him away. It was pretty amazing. But that's actually the second time that we've encountered a coyote this week alone. The first encounter was on Monday, where one was seen spotted on Lakeshore Drive. Now, well, what's really notable... Oh, that's the thing. What's really notable about these sightings is that you know that a 5-year-old was bit last night, yesterday afternoon at the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum. That child bitten multiple times in the head, taken to the hospital, Lurie Children's Hospital, and we were told that child has been stabilized. But we don't know if it's the same coyote or if it's multiple coyotes, but whatever. The one that we saw this morning appeared to be a little aggressive and it also appeared to be injured, limping a little bit. So kind of scary.
Yeah, the 5-year-old boy bitten in Lincoln Park. And where did you say the guy who was bitten the butt got attacked?
So he was attacked right here on Northwestern Hospital's campus. So right here, pretty much on Fairbanks near Huron. He was walking down the street on Fairbanks, 700 block of Fairbanks, and ended up being bitten on the rear by this coyote. And so he went home and, you know, took care of himself for a little while, and then I guess he thought it best to go to the ER. So around midnight, he showed up at the Northwestern ER to report that he had got bitten by this coyote. So, yeah, that's, we learned about that. But that was, you know, we're talking about two people being bitten by coyotes in less than 12 hours in the city of Chicago, which is pretty unusual. And, you know, most animal experts will tell you, oh, coyotes don't want to bother you. They don't want to bite you. But whether we're dealing with just this one or if this is multiple coyotes, whatever the case is, they appear to be pretty aggressive.
And if you're a TV news photographer and you got video of a coyote, that's a good day at work, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. John is pretty excited, and we've been circulating it on Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter. It's all out there. It's pretty amazing stuff because even on the video, you can hear him shoo away the coyote as he's crossing the street because he was looking dead at the camera. He was coming for John. He was coming for the camera. And John was like, go away, go away, go away. So he was shooing him. It was pretty amazing stuff. So eventually he turned around. He thought it better. He turned around and went back across the street and kind of started roaming again. But, yeah, pretty interesting stuff. You never know what you're going to see in the middle of the night in the city of Chicago. I tell you, I've seen some interesting stuff at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, for sure. Animal Care and Control now says that if you spot a coyote, you can call them, right? 311, correct?
Exactly. And interestingly enough, that's what we did when John spotted the coyote this morning. We got on the phone, we called police, let them know that we had spotted it in this area because it was just a few hours after the 32-year-old man got bit, and it's in the same block pretty much. And so we notified police, and they in turn attempted to notify Animal Care and Control, and were searching for crews that could come out and actually search for this coyote. But yeah, he's been making appearances here on the north side from Lincoln Park to the Gold Coast So keep your eyes peeled. You just never know when he's going to make himself known, I guess.
And the experts say it's really unusual for a coyote to approach somebody, let alone attack. This is very odd, isn't it?
Right, and that's why we're wondering. We're no animal experts, and, you know, hopefully we can talk to some later this morning, but it appears that this particular coyote that we spotted this morning in the 2 o'clock hour may even be injured. It appeared to be limping, like having some sort of leg injury. So perhaps that's the reason why he's so aggressive, is maybe somebody hurt him or he was harmed in some way, and now he's not very trustworthy of people. So we're not really sure, but hopefully Animal Care and Control can catch up to him and give him the care that he needs. But we also know, interestingly enough, there was a coyote that was pulled from Lake Michigan the same day that we initially spotted the coyote on Lakeshore Drive on Monday. Yeah. So there was also a coyote pulled from Lake Michigan, the icy waters. Emergency responders came out, pulled him, and treated that coyote. But we don't know whatever happened to that coyote, if they released him back into the wild or if they still have custody and care of this particular coyote. So that's why I say we don't know if it's one or multiple out here.
Who's the cameraman again who got the video and who we hear on the video shooing the coyote away? Did you say John?
John Loboda. That's John Loboda.
We want to give him his props and also give him time today to go back to the station and get in an editing room and add that clip to his resume highlight reel, because, you know, he'll want to do that.
Oh, for sure, because it's not very often you get voiceover work, too. You can hear him shooing a coyote. Yeah,
that's right.
It's pretty amazing stuff.
Well, we know what we'll be seeing a lot of on Channel 9 all day today and tonight. Thanks a lot, Courtney. Appreciate the report.
No problem, Bob. You take care.
All right. Have a good day. It's 5:25 and warmer day today. Just looking at the Tom Skilling report and rain coming, and hopefully it'll be well after both the morning and the evening rush hour, but there's going to be a bit of a mess coming for the weekend. We'll get you updated on that coming up momentarily. Also, coming up a little later, we have extremely local news, the coyote and more. We check in now on pretty much a daily basis with the folks at Block Club Chicago, who have reporters sort of embedded in every neighborhood. And then this is the reason I got up and came to work today. I get to talk to one of my favorite Cubs from that great 69 team, Randy Hundley, a little after 7. He's done those fantasy camps forever. He invented the concept that all the clubs do now, and this is going to be the last one for him. We'll talk to good old number 9 this morning, and then we have a relationship expert coming in, Bella Gandhi, who you may have seen on Good Morning America from time to time. She'll be with us later today to talk about... Well, you know, a lot of people have asked me if the BS Love Counselor will make an appearance here, and the answer is we've got that scheduled for the 12th of never. But we do have an expert from the Smart Dating Academy who will be with us today in our 7 o'clock hour. Later on this morning, breakfast with a Blackhawk, Duncan Keith. Right before 9 o'clock. And Mark, is he going to be in a good mood today? Things have not been going well for the Hawks, have they?
No, but, you know, we're hanging around here, Bob. They got the Predators tonight, so, and Robin Leonard's getting healthy, so a little bit more depth at the goaltender position. So Dunk's always in a good mood. Well, he'll cheer us up this morning with a little playoff push on the way here.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, every time the Hawks win a couple in a row, I'm thinking, all right, It's going good now. Everything's okay. And then they'll lose a couple in a row. What's going on with them?
Well,
injuries for one, right?
They're super banged up. They're missing a bunch of guys. And, you know, Dylan Strome's coming back, and Andrew Shaw eventually, hopefully, will be back. So, look, they and they need to be a little bit more consistent is what you're teeing up here, Bob. So still a long way to go in your NHL season. So it hasn't obviously gone the way they want.
Trying to pace myself.
There we go.
My daughter is very excited. She goes to school in Champaign, and the University of Illinois basketball team had a good night, didn't they?
I didn't realize that you have to go back to 2011 for the last time they beat Wisconsin, 2010 on the road. And Io DeSumo, who is an interesting kid, he's got a great family background. He's a sophomore and probably going to be a kid who plays in the NBA. Hit a huge three last night. Illinois doing it on the road. They're looking like they're going to be a tournament team this year, which it's been a while for the Illini, so that's exciting.
Been a good year for them with the football team showing signs of life as well.
No. There was Lovey getting to a bowl game was getting to be some long odds, so he did get it done this year. I think they'd like to do a little bit better than just that.
And it's a start.
It is a start. So give Lovey some credit. And that beard has been amazing, so he's got that going for him.
He's got the Letterman beard.
I mean, right. It's a fascinating look by Lovey. But he's leaned into it. Give him credit.
And we should mention Dave Ennett is away because he was working the Northwestern game last night. They've got some troubles there.
So I did halftime last night. I go home, getting ready for the morning show, and I turn on the TV. They're up 50-40. They're up up 10. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to beat it.
Yeah, with like 3.5 minutes left or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little bit more than that. But they're up 10. They're at Indiana. Indiana's struggling. I'm thinking of our good friend Dave. Let's get a win here. And, I turn it on, and then Indiana scores the next 10 points in a row, and now it's tied. And I'm thinking, like, it's not true, of course, but you feel like guilty at that point,
right? Of course, yeah.
Right?
The superstitious sports fan. Yeah, I've been there. Time for the agribusiness report with the voice, the King Kong of the Corn Belt. It's Orion.
Good morning. Some very impressive number reports on pork exports from the United States to China released yesterday. As a matter of fact, in November, total pork exports reached 259,800 tons, up 26% from a year ago, and 11% above the previous high set in July of 2019. China soared 589% from a year ago to 78,776 tons, and about 35% of that total frozen carcasses. So the surge in pork shipments to China will capture most of the headlines this month, according to one trader. But he didn't do much to the lean hog contracts yesterday at the Mercantile Exchange. The nearby April contract only gained 40 cents, and August gained 17 cents. Grain prices yesterday, and not too much change at the Board of Trade. March wheat up 3.5 cents a bushel. March, May, July corn all unchanged, and January soybeans up 3.25 cents a bushel. Well, if you're wearing a Fitbit, you're not alone, but you have some unusual companions. Researchers in Texas are now using Fitbits on cows to track the health habits of dairy cows. The researchers are saying that tracking a cow's eating, sleeping, and movement helps them take better care of the animals, according to a press release from Texas A&M University. That's technology and agriculture. That's Ag Biz. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
There's an image that'll be with us today, a cow with a Fitbit. Just think about that for a little bit. It's 5:41. How you doing this morning?
I wonder how many steps they need.
Yeah, well.
And how do they count them with four legs?
I did. I actually did some exercises this morning. I'm getting better. I actually did some push-ups and sit-ups.
Before work?
Yeah, how about that?
Go, wow. Bob.
Yeah. I mean, I did it. Everything I'm doing here on the new schedule, it's an experiment. And I'm trying to figure out when the best time to eat, sleep, exercise, nap, not nap. But I thought, well, let's see if this helps me wake up. And it did, actually.
I have a fitness ball in here if you want to sit on it.
Well, let's not get carried away.
It's true, though. Moving around is better than a cup of coffee, right? I mean, you felt, I bet, a good amount of juice after a little.
A little bit, a little shake. And it warms you up, too. Yeah. Yeah. Right? And, you know, it's you got to keep moving. That's the thing. Just keep moving. It's funny, when Dean Richards was up here the other morning on our first day doing his entertainment reports from our studio for Channel 9, and Dean was watching me leaving the studio here and going down the hallway, you know, every time there was a break, and then he said on the air, well, I've never seen anybody go need to go to the bathroom as many times as you. And I pointed out to him, no, I wasn't going to the bathroom. I just like to walk around. I don't like to just sit here, either stand behind the mic or walk around, visit the control room, go down the hall, look out the window. You got to keep moving. And also, I feel that I can connect with you out there if I do that. You know what I mean?
I have the same thing. Sitting in one place for 4 hours.
No, you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
No.
As long as you remember to come back to the mic.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I try to know exactly how long the break is, and then just, you know, walk around surprising people later in the day in the office, you know, and it's just a good way to kind of keep in touch. But yeah, keep moving. Do anything. Just move. And I've become one of those people who also likes to go for a fast walk. And they say if you walk like you're late somewhere, if that's your pace, it's almost as good as running, and maybe even easier on the body.
Definitely less impact.
Yeah. Swimming is the best, but I've never been good at that. And, you know, you got to get to a pool so everybody can walk
fast. It's cold and you have to jump in.
Ooh. Right.
Akeem yeah. Olajuwon, one of the greatest centers in the history of the NBA, he loved a fast walk, Bob. So
is that right?
You see? Right. It's a true story.
Okay.
He would do the fast walk. And here, I mean, that's an elite athlete doing the fast walk. That's got to be worth something, right?
Do we know how far he went or how long he went?
I think they would do an hour. Him and one of his teammates I knew.
That's pretty good.
That's how I know that story.
That's pretty good. And, you know, as long as I've been running, and I only do, like, maybe a half hour or 3 miles at best a couple times a week, but and been doing it for years. And I love how I feel afterwards, but I still hate it. But walking is different. I kind of, and especially if I have a destination, I really like that. And usually if the destination involves food or a sweet treat, you know, that gets me out of the house. Steve Grzanich now with our weekly Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation.
We're here with Don Lloyd, who's the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange, and Derivatives over at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back.
Steve, thanks for having me back. Happy New Year.
Same to you. I want to begin. We're all talking about Middle East and Iran. How is this impacting the world markets that you see every day? Where do you see all of this going?
Welcome to the global markets. I mean, we're starting 2020 off with a big bang, no pun intended. You thought 2019 was full of things with the Chinese tariffs, with the administration under the Ukrainian scandal going on, interest rates going up a year ago that we were concerned about, and you know now we're looking at the Middle East and the conflicts that are going over there. The markets have changed considerably over the last several decades, and an event like this 25, 30 years ago would have caused a lot of chaos and volatility, and the markets have just sort of shrugged again. Mm-hmm. You know, the markets, I think, have reached a point that they assess risk and return very effectively and very efficiently. And, you know, the markets watch it. They're very much on top of news as it comes out and when it comes out, is even when it's happening. But the movement of money from a place of risk to a place of less risk for some return, they just seem to be comfortable and in control with it. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if it's just the pressure building up on a dam that will eventually release and we're going to get all this crazy volatility. But the markets have certainly changed over the last 10 years.
You know, whenever we have a conflict in the Middle East, people always look at oil prices. Is that going to be one of the big areas that we'll watch, or will those be unaffected?
Absolutely. Oil spiked up over $70 a barrel. It's holding it up there over $70 a barrel, very tentative, sort of like gold. Gold went from, you know, just under $1,500 an ounce up to $1,595, sitting back at the $1,570 level now. You know, both oil and gold, I think, are in play right now. now. It's just better to be long than short, if you're not even sidelined. But you know, to be long, to hold on to those long positions, that's where it's going to go. It's holding above $70 a barrel. Could go even higher than that, depending on how supply is affected.
2019 was one of those years. You mentioned the China trade war. Of course, we had Brexit. That's still going on.
Yeah.
We've also had a little bit of battle over the dollar, strong or weak dollar, depending on where you are. And this year coming, the 2020 that we're in now, could be even more costly than last year. That's hard to imagine. I saw this story in GF Mag talking about global finance.
Yep.
The president seems pretty intent on having this currency war move forward, doesn't he?
Certainly beating that drum. You know, I think it's certainly a lever he can pull at will when it comes to dealing with China. The question is, what does that really mean for the markets, how it's really going to spill over into the markets? And you talked about the cost of currency movements, especially to U.S. companies or any type of company that has foreign exposure to it. That is really being driven by just how globalized these economies have become. U.S. companies are doing more and more business overseas, whether they're manufacturing overseas or selling overseas. You know, the world is getting smaller, let's put it that way. The Bank for International Settlements, which tracks daily turnover in the foreign exchange market, comes out with volume figures every 3 years, and they just released it. About $6.6 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars per day, now flows through the foreign exchange markets. So if you're a company and you're involved in international business, which 80 some odd percent of the 20 million companies in the U.S. are to some extent or another, it's going to impact your bottom line much more than it did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It isn't so much the volatility. If you look at 2019, really the last 2 years, volatility-wise, the markets, the foreign exchange markets, have been very subdued, moving under 4% a year. Okay, now volatility is a funny thing. You know, you look at the high or the low, it's really the movement in between. How many times between that high and low do you go? You got to factor that in. But if you just look at ranges, which really impact balance sheets and whatnot, under 4%, the average is closer to 10% a year. Really volatile years, that volatility is upwards about 25%. But we're under 4% right now and have been. So you're seeing companies' income statement, balance sheets and income statements being hit, being affected by currency movements more because their exposure is greater, because their size is greater. Now, once you layer in volatility on top of that, those numbers can get quite big really fast. But we haven't seen the volatility yet. Will we see it? I don't know. I thought we'd see it with Brexit. I mean, yeah, we talked about that in 2019, and that really never came about to where I thought it was going to come. We haven't started seeing it yet in this U.S.-Iranian conflict, nor did we really see it in the tariff wars that were going on. So when are we going to see volatility? Sort of like a chemist in a chemical reaction. You know, you're putting two compounds together. You know there's going to be a reaction. You just don't know when it's going to occur. We're going to get volatility at some point in time. We just don't know when it's going to come. So when that happens, the article you're referring to and the exposure that U.S. companies have can get really big really fast.
Don, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. Just like 2019, 2020, still in there, sitting on the desk. So give me a call. You can always go to donald.lloyd@associatedbank.com. That's probably the quickest and easiest way. That's always up and going. Or you can call the 1-800 number, the 866-524-8836. You can give me a call on that number. Always there to talk.
All right, Don. Great talking with you. We'll see you next time.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Don Lloyd is Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange, and Derivatives at Associated Bank. He's our thought leader today. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, January 9th. The weekly report on first-time claims for unemployment benefits is due out today. Analysts do expect to see a slight decline. The experts forecasting 219,000 initial jobless claims, 3,000 fewer than last week's. Those numbers will be out at about 7:30 this morning, Chicago time. We'll also see the EIA Natural Gas Report. A couple of Fed speakers out today speaking speaking at monetary policy and interest rates, including Chicago Fed President Charles Evans. We'll also see from the foreign desk a couple of reports on inflation from other countries, major economies, including China inflation today. So a few things that could move the markets on Thursday, January the 9th.
Thank you, Steve. Coming up on 5:56, coming attractions here. We will tell you about Yelp's list of the top places to eat in the country. Did they do, was it 100? Is that what they did? Okay. And we'll go over your chances of being audited now by the IRS, the latest on that. And it's not too late to get in on the weed business in Illinois. All that and more. Good morning. It's 10 after 6. Mayor Lightfoot's pick to be the city's transportation commissioner touted reforms to the city's controversial red light and speed camera systems yesterday while defending their effectiveness in slowing down drivers and stopping short of calling for any of the automated cameras' removal. John Byrne writing about this in the Trib. And the red light cameras now, have you experienced this? You're behind somebody and they're nervous about the intersection because it's a red light camera, and then they like slam on the brakes right in front of you, or maybe you've done that. I mean, Mayor Lightfoot frequently said during her mayoral campaign that the city needed to reevaluate regressive fines, such as traffic cameras primarily installed to generate money for the city by ticketing motorists rather than for safety reasons. And the acting City Department of Transportation Commissioner Gia Biaggi only would say she would work with aldermen. You can't fight those things, too. And I know Mark Carmen in for Dave Ennett on Sports Today. We were talking during the break, and you get one of these tickets, and you know, used to be you could go to court, traffic court, maybe have a chance. Not now,
right? And even if you get a regular parking ticket, the hassle to actually go to court and try to prove your case, is it really worth the $50 or $65?
No.
Bucks? Probably not, right?
No.
Can't dispute the pictures either.
That too.
You can't.
That's the main problem.
No,
we fight about it in our household. It's like, was that you driving that day? Was that you? No, it wasn't me.
The full city council is set to vote on Gia Biaggi's appointment to lead the city's transportation department. And she said, we have a lot of thinking to do together about where red light cameras go, the enforcement. Those kinds of issues are very sensitive and very important. You look for those signs, right? And beware, because you can't fight it. You just can't. Really, you hit the intersection and you don't know what to do. You see the sign, red light camera enforced. Do you speed up? Do you slow down? I know the Northwestern safety people have done studies on this. And let's see, it's right here. A couple years ago, Northwestern came up with some information on this, and they said that those cameras are definitely a deterrent. Speeds reduce anywhere from 10 to 11%, particularly in areas around parks and schools, which I guess is a good thing. But did anybody ever study how many rear-end collisions have been caused by those red light camera signs?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Another layer right there.
Yeah.
See, but do you drive it in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Bob Surratt's at a traffic light. It's 4 a.m. and there's no turn on red and there's no one around. You can't even turn on red there because there could be the red light camera. Now, shouldn't you be trusted to be able to turn right on red at 4 a.m.? Can't we have a little bit of a leeway or something for living in this beautiful city with all the taxes we pay? Can I make a right on red without a red light coming at me?
I just want the button here in front of me as part of the control panel that controls when the express lanes open and close. Okay. That's all I'm asking for.
No, that's Dave Ennett's job. Don't take that away from him.
6:14. Coming up, the top six at six, including your chances of an IRS audit. And Yelp recognizes a couple of Chicago restaurants among their list of the top 100 in the country.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 666.
What?
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
That's what we do here at around 6:18. Your chances of getting audited have fallen significantly. That's the first story here in our Top 6 at 6. The IRS audited roughly one out of every 220 taxpayers last year. A decade ago, those odds were closer to one in 90. So now it's about one in 200 or so. And, you know, better than 1 in 90. The IRS also said in a report published this week that the agency lost nearly 30,000 full-time job positions between 2010 and 2019. Hence, your chances of being audited not quite as great as they used to be. Next, people pretending to be drivers for rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft are robbing victims on the near north side, according to police. At least four such robberies have been reported since the last few weeks of December. The robbers picked up the victims while pretending to be rideshare drivers, then stole from the passengers, sometimes using force, according to a Chicago police community alert. Let's be careful out there.
Pay attention to that license plate.
Yeah.
What car you're jumping into.
Yeah, that's right. And Mrs. Surratt always reminds me about this. When you come up to the driver, you ask, who are you here for? You don't say your name.
Ooh, that's good.
Good safety tip, right?
I've never done that. My life just changed.
Okay, thank you. Glad to be of service. A special prosecutor's investigation into Jussie Smollett has targeted a trove of digital data from the Empire Actors Google accounts. According to a search warrant issued, the warrant to the California-based company seeks virtually all records and data stored in accounts linked to his Gmail address, including images and photos, the contents of his email account, including deleted messages and online drafts, chats, and location information. I guess this is the last season for Empire. I know they were working in Chicago. They were shooting last night, in fact. We were doing our Facebook live cast, and somebody chimed in from the set who was working on Empire. That's the latest on him. The plan to let Chicagoans smoke weed in bring-your-own-weed pot shops is delayed for now. A vote on a proposed ordinance that would establish Chicago's first on-site weed consumption lounges was delayed indefinitely in committee yesterday. Alderman Brian Hopkins, who chaired the Committee on License and Consumer Protection in Chairwoman Emma Mitt's absence, said he delayed the vote because Mayor Lightfoot's City Council floor leader, Alderman Gilbert Villegas, was not present. Chicagoans looking to visit some of the new residents at the Shedd Aquarium, including sea otter pups, a beluga whale calf, and penguin chicks, can do so for free on select days this year. Yesterday, the aquarium announced the 2020 schedule of free days for Illinois residents, and it includes several days over the next 2 months and many more throughout the year. And coming up in January, the free days are the 16th through the 20th. And finally, Yelp reveals America's top 100 places to eat in 2020. This is a good list. They do this annually, and I like it because it includes every kind of restaurant, the fancy schmancy spots, food trucks, everything from fine dining to your fast food type joints anyway, and big cities, places off the beaten tracks. What they do is they look at Yelp ratings and reviews and put together this list. So we have the list here of the top 100 places to eat in the U.S. And you know what number one was? Number one, the Shawarma Guys in San Diego, California. And that apparently is a food truck. And that finished number one.
That sounds delicious.
Doesn't it? Yeah, I know.
I'd crush that for lunch.
Number two was a poke and ramen place in Los Angeles, Pisces. Number three, Farm Bird in Washington, D.C. Four, Burgerama, Valley Village, California. Mm. And let's see, then we have Cochina Madrigal in Phoenix, Arizona, famous for wild mushroom enchiladas. Six was Fratellino in Coral Gables, Florida. That's where my wife's family is. I don't know that place. I'll have to check that out. Fratellino, Coral Gables. 7, Yardy Spice, Homestead, Florida. 8, Sweet Rice in Gardenia, California. 9, Soichi Sushi, San Diego. And 10, Picol Thai Bistro in Fairfield, California. Now, 2 Chicago places made it on the list. Anybody around here ever been to Nini's Deli? Nini's Deli in Chicago, that was number 33. Anybody been there?
No.
No.
Does it have a location?
We'll get it.
Tell him to send us food.
I'm looking. It's hold on a second here.
Mark's got it.
It's in Westtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, this is amazing. I mean,
Noble, 543 North Noble.
Here we are in Chicago. They're good. That's the number one place in the whole land,
according to Yelp. That's the one that made the Yelp list highest of any of the other Chicago restaurants. 33. Was there another one? Oh yeah, 57 on the list. I know nobody here has been to Healthy Substance in the city, right? I'm just guessing nobody's been there.
I could see you there, though, Bob.
Only if my wife makes me go. Let's see. Where is that?
Sure, check they have green out. Shakes there.
Healthy Substance. Yeah, I had mine this morning.
Oh, good.
Very healthy. Lots of vegetables in there. She puts in a banana or something so it tastes better because normally it does taste like the lawn.
Oh.
But it is good for you.
6852 West Archer Avenue.
Okay, that's
Healthy Substance.
Healthy Substance. All right, we'll have to check that one out. And I'm looking here on the list. Yeah, those are the only 2 places that made the Yelp list. It seems like we have many, many healthier choices now to eat. But this is why I want to give an extra shout out to the deli on this list. We don't have enough delicatessens. Number 33. Nini's Deli in Chicago. We want more. It was explained to me once by a very successful restaurateur that the reason there aren't more delis, it's just too expensive. The prices are too high, and it's hard for those folks to make money. And the famous New York delis have closed, right? The Carnegie, the Stage.
See, why can't we get more bodegas, though, like New York? Like, you can walk into the corner store, they make you a delicious turkey sandwich for $5. We should have that going on.
Street food, you know, when you visit different cities around the world, the street food is always the best, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah.
On the go, let's go. It's delicious.
I actually made an appearance last night up north at Max and Benny's Deli because I told you I went to the dentist the other day, and so I got a thing going on here where they had to inject something into one tooth because there was something bad going on there, and so they said for like 3 days you have to eat only soft, mushy food, nothing like popcorn, no crunchy stuff. So I go there thinking, oh, I know, this will be great. I'll get matzo ball soup. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, let me just make sure. So I called the dentist. No, can't have that. Can't have any breading, certainly not toast, but matzo ball soup, no. It's a no-no. So I had the broth, and what am I going to do with the matzo balls now?
That's just a loss.
I know, yeah.
Straight broth.
It's very disappointing.
Freeze them for later.
Yes, definitely. And the thing I've been thinking about, because it's not till, let's see, tomorrow I can go back to eating regular food. I now realize how much of my life is guided by food in terms of my reward, what I live for. And they say this is not something you should do. You mean you should only eat when you're hungry. I don't. I give myself treats, and so I've been in agony for the past few days. You know, you want to reward. You look forward to the next meal. Oftentimes, I'm not looking forward to broth. Sorry.
We deserve treats throughout the day. Come on.
And especially when you're working these hours.
That's
right.
A little something, something.
Let's see. In the sports department here, Mark, I'm intrigued by, I think it was the Trib yesterday, Sun-Times today. Everybody's kind of ganging up on the Cubs because they're not spending money and they've been quiet this winter. Are they just waiting for the Chris Bryant matter to be settled?
Yeah, that part of it, though, is kind of interesting, right? Here's a guy who Won the Rookie of the Year, won the MVP, won a World Series with him. He's done everything right on the field and off the field. You've got a lot of new money coming in, and yet you don't want to pay Chris Bryant. So I understand that you can't pay everyone and all that, but like that guy, to me, seems like the face of your franchise.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Rizzo.
Yeah, with Rizzo, but like, you know, Rizzo's a little bit older, so I'm surprised that they are as aggressively, seemingly willing to move Chris Bryant.
Meanwhile, they're spending on the South Side, aren't they?
Well, the time has come, right? No more rebuild, and I think it's pretty clear that Jerry Reinsdorf wants to make the playoffs this year. And hey, they've got these guys under control for a long, long time. So, and the White Sox are just entering their window of contention right now. So we'll see how much they can make a leap this year, but it should be lasting for, you know, a good 3-4 years here. It's all going to come down to pitching, Bob, as it always does. Those guys got to roll, but hopefully they will.
Got to stay healthy. Got to be lucky. I forgot to close up the top six at six, so let's do this so I don't get a memo later on. All right, here we go.
That's all today for the top six at six.
Come on!
We've been chatting every day here with the folks from Block Club Chicago, and today the co-founder and editor is here with us, and we're going to go over some neighborhood stories. Let's say good morning to Seamus Toomey. Seamus, can you first explain in a few seconds what Block Club Chicago is?
We are the response to the question, how come there aren't more stories about my neighborhood? How come there aren't more positive stories?
We need you.
Yes, exactly. So we are a nonprofit independent news service that covers just Chicago neighborhoods. We stick a reporter in a neighborhood, and we make her write about everything that moves.
I like to call this extremely local news, so let's get right to it. You want to talk about Jerk Taco Man first? For people who don't know the story here, fill us in.
Okay, I love the story because this first came to our attention in 2014 when we were DNA Info. People were lining up at this taco stand, this brand new taco stand on the west side. It's in Garfield Park at 4001 West Jackson. And it's basically a local guy just went for it, opened up a sort of a basic jerk taco stand. He's, you know, jerk chicken, but he makes it into tacos. He does other stuff as well, brisket, but it was a hit. I mean, lines down the block. You know, one of those things that the local news crew starts scrambling on afterwards, like, what's going on out there? Did so well that he opened a place down on the south side at 77th and State, and he really built that place out. This was from the ground up, put a lot of money into that, and he realized, I'm in a little over my head in terms of spreading myself thin, so he shut down the original stand, much to the dismay of Garfield Park. But great news, we just found out he's coming back to the exact same spot January 20th, 10 a.m. There are going to be huge lines there. He's giving stuff away, he's adding new stuff to the menu, and I mean, you should see these tacos. They're enormous, and they're like $5, and you get like two huge ones. It looks like a football.
Okay, now I need the address again, because now you made me want to go there.
It's 4001 West Jackson Boulevard in Garfield Park. You can't miss it. It's bright, and it's the one with 1,000 people in line.
Before we get to some food news in Logan Square, let's talk about Whitney Young and what's going on there at the school.
Yeah, this is really a story about the swim coach that used to be there, but it is dragged in the principal Joyce Kenner, which to me is one of the few principals I can name in Chicago. She's that prominent. She's been there at this elite selective enrollment school on the Near West Side at Whitney Young. You know, we've heard of it. It's Michelle Obama's high school. Well, what happened was the inspector general for the Chicago Public Schools had done an investigation and found out or alleged that the swim coach there had been renting out the school pool to different clubs for 5 years to the tune of something like $30,000 that he had pocketed without going back into the school. And the inspector general ruled that Dr. Kenner should have known about it, was either complicit or should have known about it, and actually slapped her with a 5-day suspension, which had not come out. This report got released this week. She was upset that she was implicated in it. She had accepted the suspension, but when we talked to her yesterday, she said, hey, listen, I didn't do this. I wasn't a part of it. I understand that they had to come after me, but I wasn't a part of it. So interesting. It's going to play out some more. the swim coach is gone. She's still there, but you know, $30,000 to rent out the high school pool in this day and age seemed it was startling, and the fact that it was happening at this, you know, this premier school in Chicago was also eye opening.
Right, and one of the few Chicago public schools without a gym is actually winning its fight with neighbors to build a new gym now. This is in Uptown, correct?
Yeah, this is an uptown. This is one of those stories where you did a double take on it, because there's only five elementary schools in the city of Chicago, hundreds of schools that don't have a gym, which you think about, like, well, where do these kids burn off steam? Well, they've got to go down the street, they got to go outside, put their jackets on, go to the Boys and Girls Club just to run around, play basketball, whatever. So a push to build a gym, they got the money for it, sounds great. There was a huge neighborhood association filled with very large houses right in Uptown. It's the Castlewood Terrace. They filed a lawsuit to block this. They didn't want this gym because it was going to be too close to their property. It was going to block their views of the lakefront. And they're fighting City Hall on this one, because the alderman up there, James Kappelman's on board. It got pushed through a city committee yesterday. So it looks like it's going to happen. But the lawsuit is still out there, so you never know.
As somebody who grew up in Chicago and practically lived in the gymnasium at Eugene Field Park there in Albany Park, I'm all for the gyms for all the kids. It's 6:44. More coming up momentarily with the co-founder and editor-in-chief for Block Club Chicago, Seamus Toomey. It's extremely local news. We're talking about some extremely local news here with Block Club Chicago's Seamus Toomey, and let's get to the weed story of the day and tobacco shops. There's a bit of a snag here. Tell us about this, Seamus.
Well, weed's legal, obviously. Now, the next step in the legalization in Chicago is where you can smoke it, besides your home or while walking up and down State Street, apparently. So part of the law would allow people to actually smoke in a store that sells exclusive or almost exclusively tobacco. You wouldn't think there are that many of these stores out there, but apparently there's 42 left in the city of Chicago that sells at least 80% of their sales go from tobacco. So that's the first layer of legalization. Supposedly you could go in there, if this ever gets passed, go in there and light up in there and fine. And, you know, the guys that are in there smoking cigars are not going to be happy about this. You know, when they start playing Fish music and all that. But
I want to open up a cookie store next door to these places.
Exactly. Well, the ancillary businesses are going to be fantastic. But this was supposed to go through a big city council committee yesterday. It got held up in one of those classic city hall things where, like, oh, the guy just happened to be out of the room when it was time to call the vote. Let's delay this. That's never the case. It's usually a snag, or someone wants more in the bill. And so we don't know. It's in one of those indefinite holds. This is obviously a priority of Mayor Lightfoot, just to get this stuff rolling. So we will presumably see this back soon. And then the next step would be letting people smoke within the dispensaries themselves. I think my guess is that's probably the last thing the dispensaries want this week, because they can't get people through and out fast enough because the lines are so long.
Yeah.
But that's the next step under state law. You could do tobacco shops and within the dispensaries themselves. But eventually, you know, the way this is going, you'll end up being able to do it. They'll have restaurants where it's okay, and in bars probably.
Yeah. If you've ever been to Amsterdam, the famous coffee shops there, when you get pot, I'm told that the people in the shops there will say, well, just don't smoke it when you're walking around on the street. And in the locals, for the locals there, it's no big deal. It's all about the tourists there. But really, it's just getting used to the fact that it's legal right now, with the lines around the block and figuring out where you can smoke and all of these laws. I mean, this is going to be a shakedown year for weed, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think you're exactly right. I think it's just getting the public's head around this idea that this, you know, this thing that people have been hiding for years now is out in the open. So, okay, how do we deal with it?
Let's talk a little bit about restaurants, one of our favorite topics around here. And in Logan Square, Parsons is a place that people know about, right?
I love Parsons. They have a million things on their menu that are good. I always get the hot chicken because I'm a hot chicken fiend. They're one of those ones that you can get it to the point where it's, you know, coming out of your nose.
They're in Lincoln Park, too, right?
Yeah, there's one in Lincoln Park. The original one is in Logan Square. But if you don't want to, if you're not close to either of those places and you work downtown or you live downtown, they are opening a pop-up. It actually opened just a couple days ago in the Chicago Athletic Association building on Michigan Avenue. If you've ever been in there, and I highly recommend it. That's where I bring any person that comes to town. I show that off like I know what I'm talking about. And they've got on the first floor, it used to be the old pool, and they use it for weddings, and they use it for pop-ups. So Parsons turned it into a mini restaurant there. It looks like their theme. They've got the checkerboard theme all over it, and they're serving their whole menu right down to the Negroni slushies and the hot chicken. So
you've been there.
It is fantastic. We had a staff party, our Christmas party there a couple weeks ago, and yes, I still have a little bit of burn on my mouth.
So it's right on Michigan Avenue.
It's right on Michigan Avenue. It's directly across from the Bean.
And they're also in Logan Square and Lincoln Park. And also in Logan Square, a popular taco and burrito joint is making some restaurant news today.
Right. If you look, El Patron, which is in the 3700 block of West Fullerton, good news, the owner there took out a permit to open up a carnitas restaurant just down the street, just slow-cooked pork. It's going to be a sister restaurant. This is one of those classic block club stories where we found the permit that he applied for it. And you know, permits don't necessarily lie. Sometimes they lie, but mm-hmm. we're a little ahead of this one in that he hasn't really laid out his plans exactly what he wants, but he's applied to the city for all this. So I don't have a timeline on it yet. Typically, you know, these take some time to push through, but it's a hugely popular restaurant. El Patron is routinely makes the top burrito in the country list. You know, whatever that means, there's millions of burritos. Someone picked this one, but I think it's fair to say that it's pretty good.
Okay, we'll check it out. And it's Block Club Chicago news from your neighborhood. Extremely local stuff. Co-founder and editor-in-chief Seamus Toomey. Seamus, good to see you this morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Coming attractions here. This is the reason I woke up and came to work. One of my favorite Cubs from that 1969 team, Randy Hundley. We'll be talking to him coming up at about 7:18 this morning. He's the guy who started these fantasy camps that I think every major league baseball team operates now. And Randy's doing just one more. That's it. We'll find out about that and get his take on what's going on in the baseball world. That will be coming up shortly. And we have a relationship expert today from the Smart Dating Academy. Show of hands, who needs some love counseling? That's what I thought. Yeah, you'll want to be here with us. That'll be coming up at about 7:39 this morning. And right now, we want to get you caught up on things like weather, traffic. By the way, pretty good day, mild. But it's windy. It's going to be wet by tonight. Details coming up shortly. Attention, staff. Listen up. Steve in the newsroom and Mary there in the traffic department. Mark on sports this morning. You want to get that side jobs going? You can still get in on the weed business in Illinois. Crane's reporting that the next wave of opportunities to get in on the pot craze here in Illinois is coming. You thought it was too late, right?
I did.
Nope. It's not. Applications are now available for licenses to infuse, transport, and grow small amounts of marijuana. The state ended the application process for 75 new shops last week and had more than 700 applicants. Illinois weed sales totaled nearly $11 million in the first 5 days. Hundreds of applicants seek new weed sale licenses. So, line up.
Is experience required?
It doesn't say here that yes. that is a necessary requirement. The new law that allowed recreational marijuana sales also licenses the transportation of cannabis products. The law also created a new category of small craft growers who will be allowed to have up to 5,000 square feet of cultivation space. The state will issue 40 craft grow licenses. It also will issue 40 infuser licenses.
I think if we all went in together on this, this would be a nice little niche, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
You know. Morning radio people and their pot.
Yeah, who's got the green thumb? Not me.
Did you say 11 million in 5 days? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Come on.
Good God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good side business, huh? And, you know, we have this beautiful new studio complex on East Wacker here, and WGN studios are very busy all day, but we have a lot of extra space here. There are a lot of conference rooms, meeting areas, and so forth. So,
good point, Bob.
A lot of big cushy chairs for people to sit in and yeah, smoke things.
And a kitchen for those cookies, absolutely. How you doing this morning? It's 7:09. Good to be with you. Sad news out of Hollywood. Buck Henry has passed away at the age of 89. He created Get Smart. He wrote the screenplay for the movie The Graduate. He was an early and frequent guest host and writer on Saturday Night Live. And he made a very, very small appearance in one of my favorite movies of all time. Did you ever see Defending Your Life, the Albert Brooks film?
I did not.
Well, look it up and watch it. It's great. As Albert Brooks said when that movie came out some years ago, it's the first true story of what happens after you pass away. And Rip Torn is tremendous in that movie. And Buck Henry has a very small part in there, but he's fabulous. He got an Academy Award nomination for co-directing the 1978 afterlife comedy, Heaven Can Wait, with Warren Beatty. He wrote scripts for Candy, The Owl and the Pussycat, and What's Up, Doc, and famously for The Graduate. And he was a very, very smart, talented writer. They say he died of a heart attack in Los Angeles last night. Buck Henry, 89 years old, and he's one of those people that a lot of folks don't know the name, but when they see him, he's very familiar. He kept a close association with Saturday Night Live. He hosted 10 episodes in the show's first 5 seasons and helped kind of carve their place in comedy out. Did a lot of little bits and films over the years, but again, I recommend Defending Your Life. That's such a great movie with Albert Brooks. Let's see, I'm reading the Washington Post obit, and he has some great quotes here about his time at SNL. He had a reputation as a dry-witted comedian intellectual, claiming to read 200 periodicals each year, and many folks weighing in with their tributes in Hollywood. I'm sure Dean Richards will have more on that when we talk to him after 8 o'clock this morning.
Plastics, Bob.
Yeah, he wrote it. That was one of his famous lines from The Graduates. Yeah, very good. It's 12 minutes after 7 o'clock. Coming up a little later on in this hour, we'll talk about dating and relationships and divorce. Apparently, divorce numbers increased significantly at the beginning of the year. And we'll talk a little bit about dating after divorce with Bella Gandhi, our relationship expert. She'll be in here to talk about what to do if you want to optimize yourself for dating. I have found that marriage does cut down on the dating a lot. Then we also have Randy Hundley standing by. We'll talk to him in about 5 minutes about the Cubs fantasy camps that he started, and then all the major league teams practically copied that concept. And Randy has said this is going to be the last year he does it. So we'll talk to him and catch up with one of everybody's favorite 69 Cubs. That's on the way.
For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
It's 7:17. When the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, everybody thought, well, that's it. Now there will be no more romanticizing the 69 team. We're going to forget about all that. But no way. And it'll never happen because those guys, such a great group of folks, and also they became part of the community. They lived here, and we still love them. And Randy Hundley, number 9, is one of those guys I'm talking about. Good morning, Randy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bob. How about yourself?
I'm almost awake, and I hear that this is the last year you're going to do a fantasy camp. You originated the idea of the baseball fantasy camp. I guess it was the early '80s. How come you're stopping?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know. The Cubs are stopping me from doing it, and I'm not sure why. The facilities are being used an awful lot at that time of the year.
Out in Arizona.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the problem, but other than that, I don't know.
Well, you know, back in, I don't remember, I guess it was 82 or 83, I did a little con game with CBS 2 News. I was working over at Channel 2, and I convinced them that it would be a good idea to do a series for the news on the Randy Hundley Dream Camps. And so I got to go out there and participate under the guise of doing a feature for television. And let me tell you, I had such a great time, and I know there is still time to get in on your camp this year, which may or may not be the last one. And you do so much more than what people expect. You know you're going to be playing ball and meeting the former major leaguers and all, but you really go above and beyond. It's such a great experience for people. Tell us how, if anybody wants to get in on this or give this as a gift for somebody, how do they do that, and when is the camp this year?
Well, the camp is a week after the Cubs convention, and it's the last week in January, and we go to Arizona just like we're on a big league roster and get the Cubs uniform, and we play baseball for the week, and everybody just has a great time, including the former players, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful event, and they could call 847-991-9595 and speak to my assistant Lori and sign up. We have about 105 people signed up for this camp, and we look forward to it every year. I get excited about it. I just had a knee replacement a month ago, and I have to share this with you. I got up out of bed one night to go get some water. I ended up in my yard and reopened my knee, and I'm still trying to recover from that.
Wow.
And, yeah, that was quite an ordeal for me.
You should have thought about that happening when you caught 152 games in 67 and 160 games in 1968. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It was. And I never thought anything like this would ever happen, but it did. And so I'm still recovering from that, and I'm hoping within a couple of weeks I'll be ready to go.
Do you have the former major leaguers lined up? Can you give us some names of the guys who are going to be there this year, Randy?
Yeah, we have shucks, I can't even think right now. But
I know the feeling, believe me, every morning 5 to 9.
I'm telling you, it's a problem for me anymore. I'm getting to be too old to remember half of the stuff. We have Jose Cardinal and shucks, I'm really struggling with Bobby Dernier.
Well, while you're thinking of everybody else, let me just point out what the highlight was for me of the camp. One day, Ron Santo is giving batting tips to people, and we're in the cages, and I tell Ron, I like to play softball. I really would like to work on my hitting. So he says, all right, go in there and let's hit some. And he's throwing some to me and watching me struggle. And then he gives me a couple of pointers. And then I start hitting the ball better. And I'll never forget. I can still see it, Randy. I'm telling you. The look on Sano's face when I improved, it was like a proud father. He was really into it. And I'll never forget that.
Yeah, he would cherish the fact that you would get better and feel better at hitting, and that's part of the camp and what we do. But you know, I have been focusing so much on my knee that shucks, I know a lot of the players that are coming, but I'd be confounded if I can recall all of them today.
Well, you'll find out if you call, and if you want to be part of the camp. We'll repeat the phone number in just a second. And for people not familiar with Randy's career, and Mark Carmen, I know you're familiar with his 14 years in the big leagues, playing in more than 1,000 games. And does everybody know that you're the guy who invented the one-handed catching style, which of course can protect your hand in your career because you got that one hand behind your back? It was the new hinged catcher's mitt that let you do that, right, Randy?
Yeah, when I was about 9 years old, and I went to my dad to say, Dad, I want to play somewhere besides shortstop or pitch. I knew he didn't want me to pitch, so I said to him, I want to play another position. What do you think it'll be? And I had not even thought of a catcher because my dad was a semi-pro catcher. He gets up off his sofa and says, come on, let's go out in the yard. And we get to the front door, and he stops me, and he points his eye right between his points his finger right between my eyes, and he says, I'm going to show you how to be a one-handed catcher, and if I ever see you put two hands up to catch it, I'm coming in and get you. And that's how I started my catching career. And I had a hinged mitt my whole life, and now every catcher in the big leagues has a hinged mitt. Guys used to come to me and say, how do you do this? And I would show them how to put the hand in the mitt and keep the strap on the back of the hand loose so the mitt would close good for you. And it just became the way for everybody to be a catcher. They have become one-handed catchers.
Well, you got the gold glove in 67, and you set National League records for fewest errors in a season, so it definitely worked.
Hey, Randy, what do you think about the Cubs maybe moving on from Wilson Contreras? There's a guy that's got a cannon behind the plate like you did, and fiery guy, seems like a winner, but and maybe money's a part of this, but that to me, that'd be a tough guy to replace.
Well, it would be, and where are they thinking about moving it to?
Well, there's a bunch of rumors with different teams that might be interested in Wilson Contreras because I guess the Cubs are looking to restock their farm system, but that's a young catcher with some power. You don't see a ton of those in baseball all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. Might be that they have some other positions that they want to strengthen considerably, and that would be the only reason to trade him because he is an excellent player. A good catcher. You know, he was not born a catcher. He was born at third base originally, and they made a catcher out of him. So, but he has extreme power and just good reactions on the field when you're there.
Randy Hundley, before we let you go this morning, clear something up for us. Okay, Leo Durocher was the manager. Ron Santo was the captain, but you were really running that club, weren't you, in 69?
Well, Leo came to me and he said, listen, after the first year, the first year was a struggle to play for him because he would holler at me and I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. One night in Philadelphia, he jumped up and hit his head on the top of the
dugout and threw a towel out on the field to get my attention. I finally turned and I see him rubbing the top of his head, and I don't know, but, you know, I still don't know what he wanted me to do. But he hit a pretty good bump on his head that night. He had to go up in the training room. We were all laughing about it. But he, after that, he came to me and he said, look, you are the leader of this team, and anything you need, you come to me, and I'll straighten it out. And he did. He started depending on me. And however, one day he wanted to call the signs for Bill Hands, the pitcher. Well, Bill and I had grown up together, and so Bill shook me off almost every pitch, and I had to double the sign and tell him to come on with it. And he lasted two innings, and I lasted three innings in that game. And I walk in the clubhouse, and Bill Hands says, Rumi, that's the worst game you've ever called in your life. I said, I couldn't. Leo told me not to say anything to him about it. And I just walked around for a while, and he kept getting on me. And finally, I said, Rumi, Skip called every pitch in that game. He said, thank God. I thought you were losing your mind.
I'll tell you, it's stories like that that make Randy Hundley's fantasy camp so great out there in Arizona. What better place to be in January? And if you want to find out all about it, call him up, 847-991-9595, 847-991-9595. Randy Hundley, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Randy, the reason we all still love all of the team members from 69 is you became part of the community here, and you're just salt of the earth, folks, and it's always great catching up with you, and hopefully you'll be feeling better with those old knees.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because the leg has been split open, and when I went out and sleepwalking, I'll tell you what, that was a bad deal for me, but it's coming along well, and I'm glad I got it done, because it's, you know, I was trying to prepare it for the camp, and it has been a little bit of a setback for me, but I think I'm going to survive it okay, and my leg will be all right.
Well, I hope to see you soon, Randy.
Well, thanks. I was just going to say, we'd love to see you, and of course, we always enjoyed having you with us at camp, and we had some fun that year.
Yes, we did. I think I'm still sore. Randy Hundley. Have a good day, Randy.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Take care.
It's just not enough.
Yeah, you ready for a little relationship advice? Some love counseling? We've got just the person here to give it to you. Relationship expert Bella Gandhi joins us. Good morning, Bella. Nice to see you.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Now, before we get into some of this information that the people need, whether they're single or married, talk a little bit about, and forgive the way I frame the question, what makes you an expert?
Well, that's a great question. So I started Smart Dating Academy 10 years ago. We're now on year 11. And I was always the girl who was matchmaking people on gut. So I could say to you, hey, I met a woman last night. If you go out on one date with her, you're going to get married. And that happened once, twice, five times. So 10 years ago, after giving millions of pounds of dating advice, I decided to quit my corporate career and start this business. And it's been the best decision ever.
And are you gearing everything mostly to single people, married couples? Who is the target for you?
So I am married. I've been married for 22 years, but my target at Smart Dating Academy, who we've been helping primarily, are single people that need to fix their pickers. Maybe they've been choosing badly, whatever it is, but to find love. And then we help them into phase two, have a happy relationship, and how to be a good partner.
This statistic I read recently was kind of interesting about divorce numbers, and they increase significantly this time of year, don't they?
Yeah.
People just want to get through the holidays. They put off splitting.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes they're waiting for their soon-to-be ex-spouse's bonus, whatever it is. January is a big month to file
waiting for the bonus.
Truth is stranger than fiction in my world.
And so I imagine a lot of the people you see are people who have been divorced and are trying to get back into the dating game. And my wife, by the way, she hates this when I say this, but from time to time I do say to her, you know, I'm so happy that I'm married to you because dating is just too much trouble. And of course, she says, how romantic. That's
lovely.
Quite a compliment.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, when Tinder first came out, I actually put it on my husband's phone and not mine so I could check out how it looked. And I forgot to take it off for a couple of weeks. So he and the guys at the office had a great time swiping left, swiping right.
Yeah. Now, what's changed in recent years, of course, I remember back in the day, online dating and these dating services, people were kind of embarrassed to say that they were using those. But now everybody's on them, right?
Everybody's on it. So statistics, let's talk numbers, say 1 in 3 marriages take place because of online connections. That's an old number. I think that number must have increased by now. That's from 5 years ago. At our company, 3 in 4 of our clients meet through online dating.
And the peak dating season is like right now?
Is now. Mm-hmm. Now. This past Sunday was the busiest online dating day of the year. Match said that it was their busiest messaging day ever in the history of dating. So what happens, almost half of adults in this country are single, 48%. So right at the new year, we're making resolutions. I want to get myself out there. I want to get married. I want to find love. So that's what happens this time of year.
So if you have a question, time permitting, we will try to get to you. Our phone number and text number is the same, 312-981-7200 for Bella Gandhi, relationship expert. Before we take a quick break here, how do you optimize yourself for dating after going through the divorce trauma?
The first thing you have to do is make sure that you're actually ready to date, right? Have you done the work? Have you processed all of the hard, bad feelings that come out of a breakup or a divorce, the bitterness, the anger? Do you have the closure? You're the only one that can give yourself closure. And if you'll know that you're ready to date, if the thought of going on a date actually excites you and puts a spring in your step.
And we're doing a little love counseling. Bella Gandhi is here. It's the Dating Academy. What is it again, Bella? Oh, hang on. Let me turn on your microphone. There you go.
It's Smart Dating Academy.
There you go. We've got Michelle on the line from New Lenox. Good morning, Michelle. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks.
You have a question or a story for Bella Gandhi?
Well, I do. I'm 54 years old. I've been divorced for about 18 years now, and I've had a couple great relationships that have ended, and I've been single for about 2 years now, and I'd like to find someone to date again. I find no one ever very hard, and then, truthfully, I just get, like, an attitude where I find, is it worth the effort? You know, I'm just like, I'm in a slump. Like, I don't know if I want to go through all the effort that it takes to meet someone again. How do I get out of that slump?
Bella?
So here's what I want you to do for the rest of the day and the rest of forever. I want you to turn your mindset into something that I called psychotic optimism, right? I need you to be optimistic and tell yourself, love is out there for me. I just got to go date like heck to find it, right? That's how you're going to get out of this slump, because dating shouldn't be a full-time job, but it's going to take some effort to do, just like anything big. Singles over 50 are the biggest growing segment of online daters. There are 35 million singles over 50. So get excited. There is a lid to your pot. There's probably many lids to your awesome pot out there.
Psychotic optimism. I like that.
Psychotic optimism. Optimism like a crazy person.
I try, but it's really sad when it's really hard to find anyone. I mean, I put myself out there. I'm very active. I go to the gym. I go out. I'm on dating sites. And it's still really hard to find anyone. And it gets sad, you know?
I tell you, when you tell yourself you're going to find someone, do you know what's going to happen? You're going to start to see good people. You're going to see them online. Don't give up online. It's the world's largest cocktail party, right? An online dating site or an app. So you got to weed through a lot of stuff. There's needles in the haystack, though. I promise you, I see it all the time.
Thank you, Michelle. Good luck to you. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for calling. And get back to us with a success story, I hope.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Also, let me acknowledge a text or two here, 312-981-7200. This is from 708. Online dating is depressing. People say, I have a great profile and am pretty, but the only ones who respond appear to have fake profiles, especially Match and Our Time. What about that?
Yeah, there are fake profiles out there. What I'll tell you is 99.9% of people on sites and apps are good people, legitimate people. Have a fluid dating strategy. If those two sites aren't working for you, change it up. Change it up to a free dating app and start swiping left and right. And remember, you can't go on a date or talk to someone unless you've said yes to them and they've said yes to you on dating apps like Hinge or Bumble or Tinder.
What about these companies? What is it? Just Lunch or checking you out in a phone booth or whatever they're called. What about the in-person way to do it?
Look, meeting people in real life is the holy grail. I think, you know, dating services were great 25 years ago before something called the internet came along. Now you've got every person in the world at your fingertips. So why not teach yourself how to be your own matchmaker at this point?
This is a funny text here from 224. Hey, Bob, tell Michelle I'm available. Scott. All right, there you go.
Look at this. We're creating love on the airwaves.
Well, in your business now, Bella, what is the number one problem? What's something that you hear more than almost anything else from people? Not just people who are divorced and looking to get in the dating scene again, but all sorts of different people in all sorts of different relationships. What's the common ground?
It's the common ground of what we just heard, right? It's mindset. It's the attitude of it should happen for me right away, right? It's like the Amazon Prime mentality to dating. I want the perfect person sent to my inbox in 48 hours. There's nothing more important than that you'll do than find that lid to your pot. And it takes patience, it takes positivity, it takes perseverance, right? So it's adjusting your mindset to not expect it to happen right away. You're going to have some dry spells like the desert. You're going to have some times where it's raining men, hallelujah. But you've got to go through those ebbs and flows. This is a marathon, guys. It is a marathon, and expect that.
You know, with social media now, it seems, in one respect, easier to meet people and to connect. But here's my take on, for example, Facebook. People post pictures of happy vacations, dining out in fabulous restaurants. And I always tell Marianne, we should be posting when we have an argument because the social media just makes everybody feel like there's something wrong with them. Everybody's having a great time. Everybody's together but them. I think more people ought to be posting unhappy moments.
Keep it real.
How's that for a theory?
Keep it real.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean? I mean, there's something to that. We all think, well, hey, how come I'm not in this beautiful location with this beautiful person? Because people just only post the happy moments, obviously.
And what so many people do to that point, Bob, is people are going to continue to curate their images and curate the image of their life. But if it's bringing you down mentally, shut it down. Detox yourself. I put people sometimes in social media detox. I put them in dating detox sometimes, like 30 days, no dates. Just fill up your cup again and get back to a happy you. Because if you're not happy and confident and positive when you're approaching the dating world, you're not going to be that much fun to be around. You've got to work on yourself.
Businesses like yours, and what is it, the Smart Dating Academy?
Yeah,
is
that what it's called? SmartDatingAcademy.com, also, if you want to check it out.
Yeah, more of those have popped up in the last few years than ever. Are more people getting divorced than ever? What's going on out there?
Yeah, I mean, the divorce rate is 50% for first marriages. For second marriages, that number jumps to 67%.
No, no, we don't want to hear that.
For third marriages, it's 74%. So yeah, there's more single people than ever. But guess what? Take the positive, the psychotic, optimistic lens on that. There are more awesome fish in the sea than ever.
Yeah, well, I know. Easy for you to say, right? I can just imagine somebody listening now thinking, really? It's not that easy. And it's almost a full-time job.
It isn't easy, but do it 15 to 30 minutes a day. Keep it manageable and don't go on any more than 1 to 2 dates a week and don't be on more than 1 to 2 sites a week. Or apps. Like, this is what you have to do to keep it manageable to the point where it doesn't feel like a job. Because if you get fatigued, you're going to quit.
There are some of us who need some marriage advice and counseling, too, from time to time. You have anything for us?
Give me a scenario. Be nice to your wives, your partners, and then they'll be nice to you. Women want to feel emotionally close to their partners. Words of affirmation. Say nice things. Do nice things. Especially for me. I don't want big gifts. I don't want lavish gifts. I tell my husband all the time, notice what I do. Affirm it. Appreciate it. That's all I want.
Yeah, Mr. Carmen in the sports department, you have something to add here?
He's in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, he's a newlywed.
Well, I would ask the question, like, how do you do what you just said, but also push your significant other to be their best at the same time? Where it might not feel like love in the moment, if you will, but you're holding something for them that maybe they're not holding for themselves. Does that make sense?
Say it in another way.
You think they could be better at what they're doing, but perhaps their attitude is not up to snuff, and you're trying to support them to get to the next level. Bob, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, how long have you been married?
I'm just talking about hypothetical situations.
He's asking for a friend.
This is trouble. This is trouble, Bella.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So have a date. Have a date night with an agenda to talk about this in a non-judgmental, open way. And you can kind of do it in what I call the compliment sandwich, right? Say something nice and affirming, then talk about the issue, which is the meat at hand in between, and then end it with something nice.
This is, by the way, her coming at me, just for the record.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out the path
for
her
to
do this.
To you.
To come in my way.
Duly noted.
Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay.
I like it, Bella.
All right.
And I, for the record, I'm a huge proponent of online dating. It's a wonderful way to meet someone.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Go J swipe.
Oh, a success story.
What a wonderful swipe right, left, whichever way I went.
Swipe right.
Well, I do hear from Mrs. Surratt a lot the line, just notice me. What about me?
Yeah.
Sounds simple.
See me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Say something.
Right.
Wait. If she says, how do I look? Don't say fine. Don't say good. Say, you look amazing. You look stunning. That's what she wants to hear asking you, how do I look?
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. You look amazing. You're gorgeous. That's it. That's all she wants to hear from the most important person in her life.
So that's better than what I usually do. Yeah, that's okay. There's nothing wrong.
Totally. To my husband, oh, that's fine. I said, fine. I'm not looking for fine. Like, the doorman will say I look amazing. Like, you're telling me I'm fine?
Let's get in one quick call here. Dennis in Tinley Park, what's your question for relationship expert Bella Gandhi?
No, I got no question, Bob. I just want to tell you that I've been married 52 years to my wonderful wife. And every day I tell her, honey, you look wonderful, you look nice today, and your hair looks beautiful. And I really, truly mean that out of my heart every day.
So you don't wait for her to say, do I look fat? You don't even wait for that?
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's why you've been married 52 years. And you love her, and she loves you back.
And Bob, I want to tell you, 52 years, I've also been a listener of WGN. You have brought life back to this station. You are the Wally Phillips, the Bob Collins, the Spike Odell.
Dennis,
thank you so much.
You've been drinking again, Dennis, but thank you. I really appreciate it. Bella, good to see you. I think we need you from time to time. Everybody can use your help there. It's the relationship expert, Bella Gandhi, and it's the Smart Dating Academy, right?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of free advice on Instagram. Follow us at Smart Dating Academy. Yeah,
we will. And we'll follow Dean Richards with his entertainment report after the news.
10 after 8. The entertainment news headline today, we were talking about it earlier, Buck Henry passing away at the age of 89, and Dean Richards, I guess that's at the top of your list this morning,
yeah,
too,
isn't sure it? Is. I have such nice memories of Buck Henry, don't you?
I talked about this earlier, one of my favorite movies of all time, Defending Your Life. He's just got a small part in there, but he's fantastic all the time on screen, and of course, most of his credits off screen, right, for writing.
As a writer, he was a director also. Probably as a writer, most notable for screenwriting The Graduate that starred Dustin Hoffman. Now, that's enormous. What's Up, Doc? Was another of the films that he wrote. He co-created the spy spoof TV series Get Smart with Mel Brooks back in the 1960s. So, and along the way, just tons of projects behind the scenes, directing. Most recently, I loved him on 30 Rock. He played Tina Fey's dad on 30 Rock. Always so deadpan. I was watching an old interview with him on Johnny Carson. Must have been late 70s, maybe. That's just judging by the bell bottoms and the length of the shirt collars on the show that day, and he's just so low key, and Carson's the master of letting his guests shine and look great. There's tons of material on YouTube. He was one of the early regulars on Saturday Night Live. When the show first started, he hosted the show 10 times and is probably most famous on that show for being John Belushi's foil in the samurai sketches. Samurai, right. Samurai Deli, I was just watching. Samurai Stockbroker, in which, it's a typical samurai bit. But if you have time today, look up on YouTube Samurai Stockbroker. At the end of the sketch, Belushi is going crazy with his samurai sword, tearing down a wall. But at a point, toward the end of the segment, he accidentally hits Buck Henry in the forehead. And you can see that Buck Henry got a cut on his head. He turns away from the camera, but you could see, blood was starting to come out. He turned away and finished the sketch. But it's kind of a rare blooper. It's kind of fun to watch. And, just so reminiscent of those early SNL days.
Yeah, I remember that now that you mentioned it. We're going to take a quick break, and then I want to talk about what happened to the family members of Elvis Presley. I find this hard to believe, but we'll get into this. Yesterday would have been his 85th birthday.
Isn't that amazing?
It's
what Elvis would be like at 85 years old. Yeah. What would an 85-year-old Elvis be like? I think about that for, like James Dean, John Kennedy, people who died very young. What would they be like in their 70s, 80s, 90s.
Well, just Google it because you've got the images there. We'll talk about that. Also, Justin Bieber and more with Dean Richards. Back with Dean Richards on the Entertainment Beat from Channel 9. Dean, a couple of texts. One from, 773 and one from 608 about Buck Henry cutting his forehead during that sketch with John Belushi. And he did have a Band-Aid on, and then every cast member put a bandage on that
funny.
Show. Remember that?
Yeah. That's funny. I do remember that. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what happened in Memphis. Why were Elvis's grandchildren barred from Graceland during the birthday celebration yesterday?
They weren't barred from Graceland by the Graceland people. They were barred from going to Graceland because of a legal dispute between Lisa Marie, the mom, and her now estranged husband, Michael Lockwood. They have 11-year-old, most of the children are adults and can do as they please, but they have 11-year-old twins who are not allowed to travel outside of California without both parents' consent. And the father, Lockwood, would not agree. Lisa Marie went to court to try to get a court order to allow her to take her children to her father's annual birthday celebration in Graceland. And the court denied the request, saying a birthday observance does not qualify as an emergency. That's a huge thing every January, well, the weekend of January 8th every year. You know, huge celebrations. Priscilla Presley is there, and bands, and you know, all kinds of things to celebrate all things Elvis. That's going on through Saturday in Memphis. Have you ever gone to Graceland?
I have, and I thought it would be interesting. And a number of people say this, and then after you go through that, you know, the sort of kitschy, sort of funny aspects of it kind of go away, and you're really sort of impressed and awed by the whole thing.
Yeah. Same. I went there, you know, just expecting it to be kind of a circus with kitschy, and there were plenty of kitschy things.
Right.
But as I spent time there, and then you take the tour of the mansion, and you go into the backyard where Elvis is laid to rest, I go through this thing, and I'm really getting moved by the whole thing. I'm standing at Elvis's grave. I started tearing up at the grave, and my friend who was with me, you know, it's like, are you crying? Like, you're crying. I'm not crying. No. I was crying. It was very moving.
Yeah, no, it is. They've really done a great job with it, and it's a fascinating part of our culture and musical history. It really is, and it does, as you go through it, it does get to you, and you leave there with different feelings than when you arrived.
I know it's why I put a safari room in my own house.
The jungle room. There you go.
Everybody had a house like that in the 70s, a room like that back then.
Justin Bieber has come out with an interesting health announcement, hasn't he?
He's got Lyme disease. He says that explains a lot of how he's been feeling, and you know, people have thought that it was much worse, but he said he was recently diagnosed. He's getting treatment. Expect him to be back as good as ever, according to him in the Instagram post. He also says that he's got a serious case of chronic mono, which you know, also will affect your overall health.
And we keep hearing about these live musical presentations on the networks, right? Everybody's doing those. What's next?
The next one, they haven't announced the date yet. It'll be sometime in 2020, probably toward the end of the year. They tend to do them around holiday time. The past couple have been huge bombs for a variety of reasons, but I'm hoping for the best for this one. The next one will be Young Frankenstein.
Oh, man.
Which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Most people consider it to be one of the funniest movies ever made. They turned it into a Broadway musical, which was pretty successful. And that stage version is the one that they're going to adapt for television. Mel Brooks is 100% behind all of this. He's producing the special. They haven't announced a cast yet. Andre Martin of SCTV fame, it was part of that original Broadway cast. I hope she'll be coming back to it. But people have been, you know, saying, you know, Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle from the movie are both passed away now, that Nick Offerman would be great. Brad Garrett would be great as the Frankenstein monster. People have been texting me all morning telling me who would be great in those roles.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, right.
Mm-hmm. And
please bring Cloris Leachman back.
let's talk a little bit about Harry Belafonte and listen to something interesting that you have.
Yeah.
What's this?
This is so interesting. You know, one of the biggest A-listers in the world right now is Tiffany Haddish, in the movies and doing stand-up on television. She recently had an opportunity to meet Harry Belafonte, you know, truly one of the most legendary figures in entertainment and in civil rights. He marched with Martin Luther King. She was able to meet him because of Chicago's very own Common, who Common, you know, just does nothing but charitable work all the time. And I've met some of these legendary people because of Common, of interviewing them as well. So she had an opportunity to meet him. A couple of weeks ago, I sat down with Tiffany Haddish and Rose Byrne, who have a new movie opening tomorrow called Like a Boss. And I asked her about meeting one of the most legendary people on the planet. So our Chicago friend Common, I see in a picture with you with Harry Belafonte. What was that day like?
Well, that was pretty awesome. I was telling Common that Common was talking about, like, you know, all the legends, you know, and I was like, man, if I could get just 30 minutes with Harry Belafonte, I know he would be my husband. And he's 94.
He looks
like 93, 94, and got like all his recognizances, tells the best stories. Yeah. He knew who I was. Wow. Was asking, when do I have any shows coming up? What's my next thing? I was like, you better stop. I know your wife is sitting right here, but I'm going to end up living with y'all. So, it was amazing, and I was showing him pictures of my grandfather. My grandfather used to be in a singer group called the Titans. I just found out like all this information because we were going through my grandma's stuff and all these boxes, and I found some videos on YouTube, so I played it for Mr. Belafonte, and he was like, I know this song, but I'm not, he was like, these guys look familiar, but I'm not sure. And so now I'm going to do a movie about my grandpa and them, and you're going to be in that too. Watch, you're going to see. We're going to make money, girl.
That's right.
Off the heritage.
Grandpa's making it rain for you.
Yeah, it's about time. You didn't raise it.
Right?
It's about time. You didn't raise it.
Yeah, so, she could not have been more excited to have met him. This new movie, I'll tell you more about it. I'll give you all the movie reviews tomorrow morning. Like a Boss is actually very, very funny, very, very dirty, but a lot of fun with all the serious Oscar movies that are out right now. It's nice just to have a silly comedy out there.
We'll put that on the list for tomorrow. Are they going to let you have any time for entertainment news on Channel 9 in between coyote stories, Dean?
We do have a lot of animal stories today.
Yes, we do, little
Where's
Dean?
Uncle Lair when we need him today? This is crazy. It's right down by the radio station. I guess the coyote has been spotted down there. The big thing that we are reporting, we had a camera set up there, and this coyote, it starts approaching the cameraman completely fearlessly, walking up toward the cameraman, and you hear our photographer going, get away, get away, get away from me.
I saw that. Yeah. Pretty good stuff. Yeah, coyote sightings in Lincoln Park, the Gold Coast, only your finer neighborhoods. That's all on Channel 9. Dean Richards, WGN TV.
The reason we're number one. We've got number one with coyote story.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you about it.
All right. It's 8:28, and in the weather department, get set for this. Heavy rain on Friday night. Snow overnight and into Saturday. But until then, not too bad. It's going to be mild anyway, 49 today, 47 on Friday. And some rain in the area. We'll cover that and more coming up on the news at 8:30. And Breakfast with a Blackhawk coming up before we get out of here at 9 o'clock this morning. Duncan Keith, and he's very active in the community, isn't he, Mark?
He is, and a lot to talk about with Duncan. I mean, he's his longtime partner, Brent Seabrook, done for the season. So he's, that's certainly an interesting part of the storyline for the Blackhawks this year, and they're going to get their goalie back tonight. Of course, they've been splitting time for most of the year, but then Robin Leonard was taking that number one spot before he banged up his knee, but it looks like he's going to play tonight. And Kaner, Bob, he's got 993 points, so 7 away from 1,000. Pretty impressive milestone for one of the greatest Blackhawks of all time.
Right. Who is what is he now? 17 years old.
Right. It's incredible that like Patrick Kane's 30. Like, doesn't that ages you?
He's 30 now.
No, he's not quite there. Let me hang on. I feel like he's 28. But regardless, it's like Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be forever 17. Like that should be some level.
That's how we always will think of him for sure.
And Kane is he's 31.
Mm-hmm.
31 years old.
I have suits older than that.
I bet they still look good, Bob.
Well, we hope so, that's for sure. In Crane's Chicago business, good story from Dalton Barker today. Headline, chefs and bartenders see an opportunity in pot and CBD. With the cannabis craze in full bloom, some Chicago bar and restaurant owners are experimenting with its non-trippy cousin, to capitalize on the buzz, as it were. At Young American Bar in Logan Square, for instance, you can add CBD to drink of pineapple shrub, orange blossom water, and lemon tonic. Derived from the hemp CBD, which some claim helps relieve pain and anxiety, has exploded in popularity in the last couple of years, with consumers increasingly seeking natural products that tout health and wellness benefits. Illinois' decision to legalize recreational marijuana will help both CBD and pot. With everyday people exposed to CBD and things from cocktails to cookies, it will help destigmatize the hemp plant. While the restaurant and bar industries have faced tough times with rising rent and food costs in conjunction with the tight labor market, now they must also contend with customers potentially opting to smoke and chill at home rather than head to the corner bar. Not only is legalization expected to affect the retail and food industry here, but it's unclear how people broadly consume cannabis, food, and alcohol. While change can be threatening, some are embracing cannabis and CBD and offering an inclusive space no matter your vice. Now, you knew this was going to happen, right, with restaurants and bars?
I didn't put two and two together. Really, maybe I'm a little slow over here. Really, everyone's going to stay at home and no one's going to go out to eat anymore? That's the take?
I think it's more the bar business that they're looking at.
I get that, but wouldn't you perhaps want to chill at home and then, hey, let's all go out and meet for a drink? And
I don't know. I mean, nobody knows. That's the thing here. This is all new to us. We don't know. Another interesting story that caught my eye this morning that we didn't have time to get into earlier, Google. They record interactions with their connected devices, like the Google Home speaker, but they say it's only when we use the wake word of Hey Google or OK Google. But when using many of the Google smartphone apps with a microphone for voice search, or even Google on the desktop with voice commands, it can actually record every word you say to it, whether you use the wake word or not. Everybody's watching. Everybody's listening. The fine print here is that you have to click on the virtual microphone in the apps to communicate with Google. Once you do that, Google will start transcribing you word for word and storing your commands in text and audio. You know, now with these voice-activated devices and the Ring doorbells, I mean, it used to be if you traveled to the UK years ago, I think that may have been the first city, London, where they had cameras everywhere, and you were just always on closed-circuit TV. Now, you're always on video somewhere. Somebody is always listening to you. Somebody is watching you. Do you know people who, like, cover up the camera on their desktop or on their phone, on their smartphone sometimes? I mean, yeah, you have a right to be paranoid.
So where are they? I just feel like they know everything. They know when I went to the bathroom. They know when I'm literally. They know every. They know it all, Bob. You got to get comfortable with it. You know how much money I have.
I say I have no secrets. I'm not doing anything wrong. Leading a dull life. Go ahead and watch me. Really? Yeah. I mean,
this is my fifth cup of coffee.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how the TV folks can now determine what you're interested in and place ads to sort of customize ads, and on billboards now, depending on which electronic readout you pass, they can target you. It's crazy.
See, that freaks me out. Like, I went to one website, the next thing, you know, I pull up my Facebook, and there it is right in the middle of the screen. Like, there's the resort. I'm like, come on, man. I'm trying to... that was like a one moment in time. I don't need to spend that money, and now it's in my face. Now I got to say, I don't like this ad.
And it just doesn't make sense. You know, I was looking at something on my computer at work, and then all of a sudden it's on my phone. And I went, what? How did they know? Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
It's you want to buy this Tom Petty CD? You want to... Yeah, I do. You're right.
Yeah, depending on what you're searching
for. They're
going
to keep bugging you till you buy it, too.
That's right. Time for breakfast with a Blackhawk. And Mark Kerman's in for Dave Innitt, and we're about to chat with Duncan Keith, and it was just a few years ago, wasn't it, Mark, that Duncan was named like one of the 100 greatest NHL players of all time?
I mean, yes, and we should bring that up daily, where that Dunk has had a hell of a run. He's going to end up in Hockey's Hall of Fame, and he's one of the greatest players of the decade and all that, and he's got a couple of teammates who are right there with him, and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. I don't think we're kissing up too much of Duncan Keith this morning, are we here, Bob?
Yeah, good morning.
We're just stating facts, right?
How you doing, Duncan?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on the show here. I appreciate it.
Before we get to the hardcore sports questioning from Mr. Carmen, are you going to do any more guest shots on TV shows like Chicago Fire, that one you did a few years ago?
I don't know. That would be fun. I think that was actually Seabrook's agent that got us on there, so maybe I have to have a word with him.
There you go.
That was fun, though.
You missing your guy Siebes on the ice, Dunks? I would assume you are.
Yeah, I am. You know, he's he definitely missed him around the room, and obviously his presence in our locker room is huge with his leadership, and you know, and I think we miss him on the ice too. He's a big right-handed shot that is very reliable, and you know what you're going to get with him. So. That consistency, I think, is definitely missed in and around the room.
When you see that go on with a guy you've been teammates for so long, does father time kind of float in front of you for just a second? They're like, oh, I'm not going to get to do this forever. And I mean, you're a guy that has spent so much time on the ice, and people have thought that you might play till, I don't know, well into your 40s.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems kind of like when you get a little bit older and... you know, for myself, I mean, I feel the same as I did 5, 6, 7 years ago, even better than I did when I was 27, 28, in a lot of ways. But, you know, I think the league has changed, and the league is quicker, faster, and the parity in the league is as good as it's ever been. So, you know, if you look around the league, you'll see a lot of different plays happen nowadays that you wouldn't really see. Maybe 5, 6 years ago, where anytime you're caught flat-footed out there, you're getting burned because somebody has come around and moving, and everybody's got speed. So it's been an adjustment, I think, for everybody, in the way we play. And it's but you know, at the same time, I think that's all. There's always been adjustments for players that have had to deal with. You know, playing in the league for a long time. And for me, I like the challenge. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, what do guys like you who've been around for a while do to stay in shape, Duncan? Do a lot of the athletes now get into yoga and stretching more than lifting weights?
I don't know necessarily yoga. I think yoga is probably good to do, you know, once in a while to keep the body loose. But it's definitely more geared toward, you know, being quick out on the ice and having speed and endurance. And the lucky thing for me is that I feel like I've always geared my training towards that. When I was a kid, I was a smaller guy, and I always wanted to focus on speed and quickness so I could, you know, get away from those big guys. So I've been lucky in that regard where nothing's really changed for me. But I think in general, a lot of guys are using less heavier weights and more focused on, you know, upper body stuff, mobility and core strength.
You always wanted to be a hockey player, didn't you? And did I read somewhere in grade school, some teacher was asking you what you wanted to do, and you said a hockey player, and then there was a question posed to you, what's plan B? What if you can't be a hockey player? And you just started crying at that point. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it was something like that. You know, I was always a focused little kid and wanted to be an NHL player ever since I was a little boy. So, you know, I definitely don't take anything for
for granted nowadays, and appreciate being in the NHL and especially playing for a team like the Hawks.
And you've been great with the community. Let's talk a little bit about Keith Relief and the benefit concert coming up. First of all, what organizations benefit from what you do, Duncan?
Well, we've partnered up with Ronald McDonald House Charities over the years, and so you know that we've always had a good relationship with them, and I think that'll continue in the future. And so, you know, what Ronald McDonald House does is they provide some. A place for people to live that are in medical crisis and that kind of need living arrangements, that are from out of town and need to stay in Chicago for a long time and can't afford hotels and things like that because the medical bills are so expensive. So that's been a nice a partnership over the years. And then, you know, really it's just been Keith Relief has just been doing kind of one-offs, finding, you know, whether it's a single mother with kids where one of the kids is having issues and in the hospital, cancer and things like that, just to kind of pay for their medical bills that, you know, alleviate that burden, because I think we all know, you know, how expensive things can be here in the States. Especially if you don't have medical insurance that covers it all. And so that's been a good feeling, knowing that we're helping out a lot of families that need it.
Hey, Duncan, before you go, Patrick Kane has 993 career points, so seven away from 1,000. And, of course, you've been there for the whole ride and him for your ride. But what does it mean to you, and, like, maybe just when you think about Kane, or when you guys first started, to who he is now and that whole, the relationship that you guys have had, what does it mean for you when he's coming up on 1,000?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's amazing how time flies by so fast. I remember when he was just a young rookie, and, you know, Kane's, he's been remarkably consistent. And, you know, there's reasons why for his consistency. It's his professional attitude and how much he cares and how much he wants to be great. I think those are main reasons of why somebody, you know, puts up 1,000 points. That's a pretty remarkable milestone there, and I'm certainly proud of him. I know everybody on the team is going to be thrilled when he gets that. He might even get that tonight, knowing him. Who knows?
Duncan Keith, he's got his Keith Relief Charity Concert benefiting Ronald McDonald House Charities of Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. That's coming up this Sunday, 6 to 10 p.m., Joe's Bar on Weed Street. And I assume you can get tickets at the door, Duncan?
Yeah, you can go to blackhawk.com/Keith Relief. Would probably be the easiest way. I think that I'm sure you could get tickets at the door. That's always pretty available. There's still tickets available. We need to sell that thing out.
Yep. Blackhawks.com. Randy Houser headlines the big concert on Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m. at Joe's Bar. Have fun with that, and let's get another winning streak going. Good to talk to you, Duncan Keith. Have a great day.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You too. Have a good one.
I don't mean to be boastful, but just for the record, and I know you weren't listening at 5:13 or so in the morning when I said this, but I did do it. I even surprised myself. I went the whole show without saying my name. I did it, and I did this as an homage to Wally Phillips, the most successful broadcaster in history, who never said his name.
It was one of his rules.
Was it a rule, really? Well, I know he didn't say his name. I mean, other people did, and this morning other folks mentioned the name, but I didn't.
Well, I had a couple of rules, and I don't know how pronounced they were, but one was he would never mention his name, which seems weird in this business, and the other one was never hit the news on time. And he took great pride in that.
Right. Worked for him.
He ain't working for us, though, Jack.
For the record, I did not notice, Bob, that you didn't say your name. It just all flowed.
Oh, good. Like, by the way, my name is John Williams. John Williams. John Williams.
And he'll be here right after our news update coming up in seconds. What do you got going on today, John?
Well, I'll tell you this. We'll play some Jeopardy. We'll see if we're as smart as those guys on TV again last night. More Q's and A's, or A's and Q's, coming up after the news.
Have a good one, and we will talk to you tomorrow morning. Thanks.